Well, we will turn in our Bibles and to Matthew chapter 6. First of all, page 854, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We'll read these verses together and then we'll look at the text. Well, from verse 25, let's begin. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, just a little bit earlier, we'll read these verses together as well. Let's begin. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we'll stop there. Let's also look at question and answer 125. That's inside of your bulletin, question and answer 125. From the Heidelberg Catechism. Question, what does the fourth request mean? Together, give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs, so that we may come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. May God bless the explanation of his word and application to our lives.
We've just heard the reading of God's word, and we'll be considering together primarily that petition in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, in light of what we read first, considering Jesus' words about not worrying about our life. We live in the age of Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook, and our daily bread is always before our eyes. Some of you probably have apps on your phone that teach you how to cook foods good, or maybe you watch cooking shows on TV. I know we like to do that at our home to help us prepare food better or healthier. These are all good things. But if we're honest, sometimes we could obsess about our daily bread. Sometimes we could obsess about all of those things we need to do day by day, all of those things on our to-do list. And if you're like me, you roll out of bed and you just immediately dive into the day and you begin to tick off all your tasks and you don't perhaps pray to the Lord. You don't perhaps acknowledge his blessing upon these things. And if you're like me, you subtly begin to believe that you're sufficient in yourself to handle the things of the day. We can also worry about our daily bread. How will God provide for my family? How will He provide for my children? How will He provide for me in the future? And we could begin to worry about the things of this life. We could also take for granted what God has blessed us with. We've heard that in the prayers as well. We could take for granted the things that God has given to us and not acknowledge His goodness in our lives. And Jesus knows all of these things. Jesus knows all of the ways in which we fall short of understanding God's grace and His goodness in our lives and how He blesses us. And this is why He tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," in light of the other things that He told us to pray. Our daily bread is important. We need it. But we want to reflect today on the source of the good things we have. And for what purpose God gives us our daily bread. You notice there's a pattern in Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6 that he gives us, that helps keeps us, gives us a proper perspective on our bread. Notice Jesus calls us to pray for our daily bread first in light of the fact that He's a Father in heaven, that He has all power being God in heaven, and that He is a Father to us, that we are His children adopted in Jesus Christ. And so He's willing to give us our daily bread. And notice He calls us to pray for our daily bread in light of hallowing God's name, in light of praying for His kingdom to come. He wants us to be strengthened in our bodies so that we might serve Him, so that we might seek His kingdom, so that we might hallow His name in our lives. And so I want to consider with you first one main question of why. Why does God provide us daily bread? And the answer is quite simple, but I hope that we'll be able to understand it more fully as we look at this text. God gives us daily bread for the sake of obedience. God gives us bread so that we can be strengthened in our bodies to serve Him. Bread is not an end in and of itself, but bread is given to us so that we might seek God's will. I once visited a church where an older man said to me, he knew I was training for the ministry, "Young man, never take a bite of food in the morning until you've read your Bible." And his words stuck with me. I don't think that that's a law, and we ought to always follow that, but I think that the emphasis is good in the sense that we seek first God's kingdom, God's blessing, before we seek even our bread or those things on our to-do list. You know, if we were to look at the Old Testament, one of the things that Israel was marked by in their sin was that they were bread-focused. You know, shortly after they were redeemed out of Egypt and God parted the Red Sea and brought them from Pharaoh's armies and crushed Pharaoh's armies with the waters, after they were redeemed gloriously, we read in Exodus chapter 16 that they began to grumble. Their bellies got hungry and they began to grumble against God. How will He provide for us? Instead of fixing their eyes on God and the fact that they were just gloriously redeemed, their eyes were fixed on their bellies, their immediate needs. They were bread-focused. And you know the story in the Old Testament, how God provided for His people for 40 years. He provided for them manna from heaven. We're told, the scriptures say, they were like wafers mixed with honey. They were tasty bread. God even provided them extra bread on Friday so that they could have extra for the Sabbath. And He told them, don't try to gather bread for yourself. I'll provide for you daily bread. Daily, you will have to trust Me. There was a setup with His people, Israel, to test their hearts. Will they trust the Lord for their daily bread? The bread God gives us is for obedience. We need bread. Our bodies aren't unimportant. We're creatures made to be strengthened with food. There are some in the Christian tradition, I'm sure you know, who kind of minimize the needs of the body. You might think of a monk who lives in a monastery where they pretty much say, you know, bread isn't important. Just leave your body at the door. We focus on spiritual things in here. We don't talk about the food and the things that you need. We're here to meditate and to think about God. They even spiritualize, some have, this petition of the Lord's Prayer, saying this daily bread really refers to the Lord's Supper or simply to the Word of God. But that's not true. God cares about our bodies. He made us creatures dependent upon Him. Psalm 145, the eyes of all look to You. You give them their food in due season. God takes care of us. He made us to depend on Him physically for bread. And He invites us in this petition to cast our petitions upon Him, not simply the bread we need for the body, but all of the petitions and all of the needs that we have for our lives, because He cares for us. We need bread, but we also need more than bread. You remember what Jesus said earlier in this Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We need bread, but we need more than bread. We need to see that bread is given to us so that we might do God's will. And this is what we see in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, we read about how Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And like Israel of old, He was tempted and tried for 40 days. He was hungry. He was fasting. And the tempter came to Him and He said to him, "If You are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But how did Jesus answer? "It is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 8, a section of Deuteronomy where God is reminding His people Israel about this time of testing. That for 40 years, God says in Deuteronomy, "I gave you manna, which you did not know. Your clothes didn't wear out, nor did your feet swell on the 40-year journey. I provided for you." Jesus is quoting from that portion of Scripture, quoting it to Satan, saying, "God will provide for me. God will sustain me," just as He sustained His people Israel as well. In the midst of temptation, Jesus shows to us that He is the faithful Israelite. He is that faithful Adam that we heard about earlier in the service, who obeys God in the midst of temptation, who doesn't seek to bring bread to himself, but who trusts that his Father will provide. You remember John chapter 4, verse 32, his disciples are eating themselves and they urge Jesus to eat. And what does Jesus respond? Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." See, Israel was bread-focused, but Jesus was focused on doing the will of his Father. He did not grumble and murmur against his Father even when he was fasting and hungering for 40 days. He knew his Father would care for him. And Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. As we heard earlier, he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, even to the point of crying out on the cross. Do you remember those words? "I thirst. I thirst." He hung there naked, thirsting, for our sakes, as he was stripped of life himself. Think about how that informs this petition for you and for me. How does this comfort us that Jesus endured those temptations, suffered on the cross for our sins, and thirsted for us? Well, if God gave over his own dear Son for our salvation, will he not also take care of our physical needs? That simple. If God gave over his own beloved Son for our salvation, will he not also take care of our physical needs? This was the argument of Paul in Romans 8 when he said, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" You see, we can trust God. We can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, as Jesus tells us, knowing that all of the things of this life, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear, God will provide for us. We can heed the words of Hebrews 13 when he says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content." We heard that word earlier. Be content with what you have, for he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We can trust God. He is the source of our daily bread. He gives it to us for obedience. I want to think with you a little bit. How does God bring us our daily bread? How does he bring it to us? He gives us bread for obedience. He brings us bread by his providence. We read about his providence in chapter 6. We read about it and how the Lord takes care of the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap or gather into barns, but they're fed. He clothes the lilies of the field. God takes care of his creation. You know, manna doesn't fall from heaven to us on our dinner plate. I don't think it does for you. But manna comes to us from God by his providence. And even though it doesn't fall from heaven to us directly, God is no less the source of our bread when we go to the supermarket and pick it up. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, as we confess together, he is the only fountain of all good. Our food and our drink don't come to us by chance, but from his fatherly hand. As James says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I said God brings us bread through his providence. What is providence? Providence is an exciting doctrine, children. I love the doctrine of providence. Providence has to do with God's ongoing care for creation. That he doesn't just create the world and then go to the other room to go do his thing, leaving it to itself. But providence refers to the fact that God governs creation. He continually cares for it. He sustains it. He even uses all of the natural processes that we prayed about earlier, of sowing seed and using the sun to bring about a harvest. God uses all of those natural processes in his providence to bring you and me bread. God is intimately involved with all of his creation. Jesus says, with even the birds of the air. And with the lilies of the field. You don't see too many stressed out birds in the world, do you? Walking around the street wondering where they're going to get their next meal. No, they just do their thing. But then God provides for them. He provides for the lilies of the field clothes. And Jesus argues, you notice, from the lesser to the greater. When he looks to his disciples and he says, if God takes care of these things, will he not much more take care of you? You bear God's image. You're his children that Jesus shed his blood to die for. Will he not much more take care of you if he cares for these things? Oh, you of little faith, he says. But how can we say God is providing our daily bread when we go pick it up from the store? Or as husbands, we say, we go bring home the bacon. Well, we worship a God, again, who uses means. Means to accomplish his ends. He uses the natural processes that he created and sustains in the world to bring us our daily bread. Even when we pray for healing for someone, whether or not God comes down in his grace and does that immediately, bringing about a miracle, or whether or not he uses the means of doctors and medicines and treatments, God is no less the source of that healing, no less the source of that good. You know, there's two sides of the spectrum we don't want to fall into as Christians. One of them is called secular naturalism, which says, well, everything in this world has a scientific and natural explanation. You don't need God. That's one side of the spectrum. On the other side, as Christians, sometimes we might say, well, if God works, if it's a God thing, it must be a miracle, miraculous, amazing. But as Christians, the middle ground that Jesus talks about is providence. God's ongoing care, using means of doctors, of medicine, of farmers, to bring us the things that we need in this life. You know, in the beginning, God said both, let there be light, and there was light. That's a miracle. But God also said, let the earth bring forth plants and vegetation, fruit trees, etc. And that's providence. God calling the world to do what he made it for. And that's that middle ground. So when we say God healed, we can say God healed me even when the surgery is successful. And the same is true with our daily bread. We must not think that the only way God can provide for us is if we see manna fall from heaven. No, he uses the means of farmers and of millers and of truck drivers, and of that lady at the checkout counter. He uses all these different means to bring you your daily bread. In a sense, every step of the economic system contributes to that little piece of toast you had in the morning, or that oatmeal, or that good cup of coffee. God is using these things to provide for us. I love how the reformer Martin Luther, I'm sure many of you have heard that name, I love how he said it. We can talk about God actually providing these things in his providence because he said so boldly, God is milking the cows through the vocation of the milkmaid. Think about that. According to Luther, he says that God wears all of these different masks to care for us. You know, you and I see the person milking the cow, the person behind the checkout counter, the person baking bread. But Luther says, looming behind that human mask, God is genuinely present to provide for you the things of this life. Therefore, we're to glorify God in even the most mundane and ordinary tasks of life. When someone brings you a meal at your restaurant, someone builds you a house, someone cleans up after you, we can be grateful to God and we can be grateful for that person who he is using as an instrument to care for you. Did you savor, like me, a good cup of coffee this morning? Glorify God for how he brings you that good cup of coffee every morning. Think about all of those processes that need to take place to bring you your coffee or your daily bread. Do you enjoy a good book or a good work of art or a nice movie? You can glorify God who's given gifts to artists and to writers and to musicians. This is what separates us as God's people from mere animals. My wife once wrote in a little article these words about why we pray before meals. And she says this, the practice of mealtime prayers is what separates men from animals. Instead of attacking our food and tearing into it as though it could be taken away from us at any moment, humans make a point to acknowledge their creator and sustainer in gratitude for his provision for their physical needs. And of course, beloved, we're reminded that God is also working through you. He's working through your vocation. He's working through where he called you in life. You may be a husband and you may go out and bring home the bacon, but God provided you that job and he provides you the daily strength to do that work and to provide for your family. And as we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, without his blessing, our labors cannot do us any good. So when we pray this petition, we're acknowledging God's good providence and caring for our needs, and we're asking that God might give us strength to serve him in the callings that he has blessed us with. As a couple of concluding thoughts, I want to think about, in light of what we just heard, how should this affect our prayers? How should this affect our prayers? We've learned that purpose of bread is for obedience. The source of bread is God himself ruling and reigning in his providence. But I want to simply focus with you on just this petition itself and to think about what this tells us about our prayers. Notice verse 11, it's not give us this day my daily bread, give me my daily bread, it's give us. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, we're to focus in our prayers, not just on ourselves and our own needs, but to think about the needs of others. If you're like me, that's really difficult because your needs are right before your eyes. Your to-do list is on the table. And so your needs are in your mind, but here we're reminded by Jesus to think about the needs of others, both in the church and outside of the church. And we're to ask God in his fatherly care to take care of the needs of all of his people. And we're to ask that he might use us to be part of his means to accomplish even those things we pray for. Now, for example, if you're praying for encouragement for someone who's struggling in their faith, or you're praying for someone who is just got out of a surgery or something along those lines, and you're praying for encouragement for them, you're also praying in this petition that God would enable you to be part of the means to bring encouragement to them. Perhaps that means you write them a note, or you give them a phone call, or you speak to them at church and you encourage a brother or a sister. Maybe it means when we pray for different things in the world or in our community that we also become part of God's means of volunteering our time and our energies and our gifts to serve those things that we pray for. Again, it's our daily bread. We pray with an eye towards one another and towards the world. It's our daily bread and it's also our daily bread. Our daily bread. And this little adjective, daily, highlights our constant dependence upon God for our needs each day, both for food and for all of the things that we need in life. Daily also helps to control our passions for the things that will pass away. You know, it's easy in times of abundance to simply just pour out all of our resources on ourselves and just indulge ourselves to the point of excess. And it's not bad to at times enjoy those things in that way. But we need to be careful that we're not like Israel, who forget the Lord in times of prosperity, in times of abundance. On the other hand, though, when we don't have much, we could sin in the other way. We could covet, as we heard. We could obsess over how the Lord will provide for us. We could even go so far as to steal and to grumble about why God isn't taking care of me. But as we already heard so beautifully, the key thing Jesus is teaching us in praying for daily bread is that word contentment. To be content with the lot that God has given us in this moment, to thank Him and to use the things that He's given us to bring Him glory and to be a blessing to others. As 1 Timothy 6 does put it, godliness indeed with contentment is of great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. Contentment. I wonder if you've come across the Old Testament prayer of give us this day our daily bread. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9, again, highlighting contentment. Proverbs writes, the author of Proverbs here writes, two things have I asked of you, Lord, deny them not to me before I die. One, remove far from me falsehood and lying, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Neither poverty nor riches. Does that mark your prayers, brothers and sisters? Lord, don't give me too much. I don't want to forget you. Don't give me too little. I don't want to covet and steal. But give me my daily bread. Help me to be content and dependent upon you. Because you are the God who cares for the lilies and the birds, and you will care for me. I love how Calvin put it. He said, we're to ask only as is sufficient for our needs from day to day, with this assurance that our Heavenly Father nourishes us today and He will not fail us tomorrow. Thus, however abundantly goods may flow to us, even when our storehouses are stuffed and our cellars full, we ought to always ask for daily bread. For we must surely count all possessions nothing, except insofar as the Lord, having poured out His blessing, makes it fruitful with continuing increase. Brothers and sisters, are you concerned about your daily bread today? Are you worried about the future, how God might care for you and provide for you and take care of you? The good news is that Jesus doesn't say, forget about your needs. Forget about those things. I don't care about those things. He doesn't say that. But He invites you to cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. All of those things that you need for life, He says, pray to me. But first, seek first my kingdom. Seek first my righteousness and know that all of these other things will be provided for you. If God in His providence feeds the birds of the air and He clothes the lilies of the field, will He not much more clothe you, His children? God is the source of all of the good we have. He's able to care for us because He's a Father in heaven. And He desires to care for us because He is a faithful Father to us in Jesus Christ. And we'll close with the words of Jesus from Matthew 7, where the Lord says to us, what father among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Amen. Let's pray and let's ask God's blessing upon our lives in this way. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that you would take care of all of our physical needs so that we may come to know that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our worry or our work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. Strengthen us for your service and bless the labors of our hands for the good of your church and for the good of this world. We pray that you would continue to guide us. We pray that you continue to help us know that you are the God, the one from whom all blessings flow. Father, hear us, for we do pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.